out of hand. Some of them just looking around. Shake them a little bit. Give them some momentum. And say, neighbor, say it just like I said. Say, neighbor, oh, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. Is he all right? 85, is he all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Glory to God. How you handle the pressure? When the enemy comes in my face, I open up my mouth, wrap my head back, and say, I know he's all right. I've been through the fire. I've been through the lion's den. I've been through the flood. But God delivered me so I can tell everybody, I know he's all right. Is he all right? All right to live with. All right to die with. Say yeah. Say yeah. Hallelujah. Come on.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Isaiah, chapter 49. And I just want to lift out verse 4, recorded of these words. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. I want to talk about serving. Okay. Keep it in perspective. Serving. Keep it in perspective. This verse cites a wrong perspective, and then it cites a right perspective. It's important that no matter what arena, what area of work or labor you may find yourself in, it's important as a servant, as a employee, as a person who is under the command of another, to be careful about where you put your perspectives, where you place your focus, why you're doing what you do. And it's important because it's important for the believer and for the workman to understand that when you truly are connected with your purpose and when you truly understand that what you do is for more than a paycheck or more than just serve in a position, but it is in connection with a higher purpose and calling for your life, then it changes the perspective that you have concerning your work. In other words, when people work simply for positions, if that position does not require a certain performance, then they'll tell you that's not in my job description. They'll say, you don't pay me to do this or to do that. That's when they're caught up in positions and in titles, and they want to stay within the framework of what they've been hired to do. But when they recognize that they are greater than their position, and when they recognize that they are in connection with their purpose, then not only will they do what's in their job description, but they'll do whatever their hands find to do. When you understand who you are and whose you are, it doesn't matter what's asked of you to do because you recognize that you're doing it for the glory of God. You recognize that you want to please the owner. You want to recognize that your purpose and calling is far greater than your position, and your position simply allows you to carry out your purpose. And so when I find people understanding where their purpose is connected with their calling and they operate in that, you'll discover that, yeah, they have some up days and, yeah, they have some down days. Yeah, sometimes people will make them so mad they want to quit. People will make them so mad they want to cuss. Don't sit and act like you holy that you don't get that mad where you. But in spite of all of those challenges, at the end of the day, they recognize I've got to keep my perspective. I've got to realize who called me, why he called me, and for the purpose he's called me. And if he's not through with me yet, then I'm not through doing what he's called me to do. And I will not allow the enemy to steal my perspective or my focus. Look at this, because I want you to see. Let's first look at the wrong perspective because it starts off wrong. It says, then I said. Now, this was a conversation about himself, perhaps with himself. But we are given view into this conversation for a purpose. I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught. And in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. Now, when he goes back and he analyzes and assesses his own labor, he determines that it has been in vain. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, if we'll be real, the truth of the matter is that there are things God has assigned us to do, and there are things that we have found our hands to do, and we have done them to the best of our ability and have not been excited or pleased with the outcome or the result of our labor. And it disappoints us to the point where we feel that all that I put into this thing has been for nothing. When you look at how much you give, when you look at how much you invest, when you look at how much of you is a part of the process and the role that you play, that you don't just give your service without putting your soul in it. And so when you begin to realize that all that you have placed in the project, all that you've invested in this labor, only to find out that it doesn't end up like you wanted to, and it doesn't come out like you planned it to, and it looks nothing like the projected plans, you come with a hearty feeling of hurt and pain and realize that all that you have done has been in vain. But unfortunately, as Isaiah says this, if you reach across the Testament lines, you'll discover that Paul makes clear that we ought to know that we ought to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, if your labor is not in vain in the Lord, then there are some things that we're going to bring up that will help us get our perspective right. Because one of the problems with being in the natural and working in the earth realm and dealing with people and having to fulfill quotas and reach goals and deal with assigned assignments is the fact that they don't always turn out like we want them to. But here's what you need to know. And obviously, as we look at Isaiah and he pens these words, he's recognized that it is in the text here, our lives many times are connected with what we feel the outcome has been. In other words, if we feel the outcome didn't happen like we wanted to, and because it was in vain, then we attach the vainness to us. Listen, if what I've done, given my best, and it does not work, it doesn't mean I didn't work. See, too many times people connect the wrong part of them with the project. You connect everything that is in you to make it all that it ought to be, but you're only one part of the project. You can't speak for nobody else. You can't do it for nobody else. All God holds you responsible for is what you do. But listen, if the project fails, it don't mean you're a failure. If situations don't go right and you've done all you can do, it doesn't mean that you're not right. Because here's the truth of the matter. If you did the whole thing all over again and gave the best that you did again and it still came to naught, the reality is it's more than you, and you can never or should never ever feel that when you give the best of your service, that if it doesn't come right, it's been for nothing. And here's another thing that you must realize. That sometimes we miss the fact, Paul put it so eloquently, he says, I plant, Apollos water, but God gives the increase. You got to remember you're a co-laborer. You have co-workers. That when you do your part, it could fail because the co-worker, the co-laborer, didn't put in much in as much in it as you did. And so it may appear that it has failed, but what you don't understand is when God looks at the situation, and I'm going to get a little further in that, he's not going to replace your part. He'll get somebody else to do the part that was messed up on the co-laborer's part. And if your part has been done right, you don't have to redo your part again. The part that wasn't done right is the part that God will put a new laborer on who will make it as if it were the original partner, and the plan will go on as God intended it, because God is in charge. I think, honestly, I've been in the ministry for quite a while and been a Christian longer than that, and I've discovered even in a heavenly environment, you've got some hellish folk to deal with. Some of the most disagreeable, some of the most mean, stiff-necked, hateful, nasty attitudes. Folk who think they're all that and a bag of chips, pickled coke, and all the rest of that stuff. People who don't think the program cannot go on without them headlining. People who refuse to work because they can't be in front of the line getting the glory. People who don't think that if you don't use their ideas, no other idea is good. It's amazing how they got to pray on stuff that you present, but they've already prayed on stuff they present, and it's well when they present it. It's amazing that some of the people that you deal with who resist the work the hardest are right in the church of God. I need you to understand, Isaiah's talking about God's people. Somebody say God's people. He's not talking about heathens and those who are disconnected and disenfranchised from God. He's talking about God's people. And look at what he says again. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught. I have used all of my strength for nothing. And so sometime when you serve in various positions and places, though we're celebrating VIPS today, this is relevant to all ministries and all who minister, people in every work of Christ, both in the church and outside of the church, on the mission fields, et cetera, know this, that when you are connected with your calling, that's why I tell people when you are praying about a church, make sure you're led by God. And his spirit will lead you to the right church. But then I also tell him when you're led to ministry, make sure you hear from God. Because God always gives to each of us what is necessary to minister in the ministry he calls us to. I've shared this illustration so oftentimes. You cannot make me believe that God has called you to the singing ministry if you can't sing. I don't care how much you love to sing, that may not be your ministry if you can't sing. And isn't it amazing the folk that really can't sing really love ministry music? Oh my, if I could get a mic and some of y'all at the pew level and get it close to y'all to hear y'all. Oh, but you give some of the highest praise and the glory to God, and some of the folk up there with the gifts act like they're doing God a favor. With the ability to sing and so forth. And many times it's in the flesh and not in the spirit. And God gets no glory from that. But they are equipped to do the ministry. So because they didn't get to sing the song first, or they didn't get a chance to do the song that someone requested, they get an attitude and they don't sing to the glory of God because they're mad with man. Usher at the door had some issues at home. Open the door and invite you in like, what you doing here? Do you have a program? What? I don't want ushers. Take the Sunday off. Let somebody else handle your post. Come on in the back, let's get a little prayer. But you got to understand that you represent God, you represent pastor, you represent the ministry, and you represent yourself. And when you are a doorkeeper of the house of the Lord, there's nothing more important than doing what God has ordained you to do and to help folk know the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. You have a reverence about you, a holiness about you, a godliness about you. And our VIPS ministry who serve in multiple areas of ministry doing various things that God has assigned into their hands will meet folk with challenges and will deal with all kinds of challenges. But it's important to recognize your service is unto the Lord. And so when we recognize this and begin to operate in this, this is a common complaint. It's a common complaint that most of us have in our lives. Man, I feel like I've just wasted my time. I feel like all that I've invested in this situation, in this project, all of that has been for naught. When you see it crumbling down, when you see it coming down, or when you see it not prospering like you planned, here's what you need to know first of all. Were you assigned to the assignment? Because no matter how the end result ends, that was not your responsibility. Your responsibility was to do the assignment to the best of your ability. Don't get the wrong focus. Don't go to the end trying to control stuff that you're not even in control of. That's a good way to mess up the rest of your life. Listen, God tell parents, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he grows older, he will not depart from that training. But listen at this. The sum total of this is this reality, that your responsibility is to groom and to grow a child until that child reaches adulthood, till they are now responsible and accountable for making their own choices and their own decisions, for going down the road that they have been taught, the path that they have been shown. But it is now, once they've reached that age and stage, your responsibility to take your hands off. You can't guide them and guard them through the rest of life. Let your teachings do their job. But lest you forget that they are human, that they're going to be inquisitive, that they're going to go on explorations that are varied and different from what they have learned. Sometimes, in order to understand what you have taught them, they've got to find out for themselves. Everybody doesn't always walk in the wisdom of others' falls, others' hurts, others' pains, others' shortcomings, and learn from that. Sometimes they got to see for themselves. You grow up and you teach a child around the stove, around the heater, don't touch it, it's hot. Hot? Yeah, hot. And one day you're not around and they see the fire and they want to go there. If they see you, they holler, hot? Hot. And one day, if that gets the best of them and they just don't take your word, they touch. And when they touch or get close enough to touching and feel the heat, they jump back. Hot. And you've got to understand, listen at this, like the prodigal father, who was extravagant in his love and in his grace and in his goodness to his son, wanted his son to know that everything he had taught him was so. And so when that boy went to his father and said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me," the father had no issue with that. Here's what the father knew. Because a father and a real mother knows their children. He knew his personality pattern and traits. He knew that boy was going to do what he wanted to do anyhow. And so he gives to the boy all of his possessions. And then the Bible says he takes off to a far country and he spends it. He wastes it on riotous living. And when he got through with all of the famines and so forth and so on, he had every lesson in his head and his heart that his father had given to him. And one lesson after another lesson came to pass. Father probably taught him, "Boy, listen, everybody loves a winner. Nobody loves a loser." Lost everything he had, the friends that he had loaned money to, given money to, walked in the club, he big money grip, drinks for everybody, all that. Now he wanted a drink, couldn't get nobody to give him a drink. He, a Jew, had to go and work in a swine part or a hog's pen, which Jews had no dealing with those animals, certainly not in that degree. And so there he found himself slopping hogs and getting so hungry that he ate the food that hogs ate. And every lesson that his father had taught him as he walked through his own life experience, it came back to him. And then finally he said to himself in the hog's pen, "How many servants do my father have? With food and enough to spare, I will get up, I will arise, and go back to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee, and am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But make me as one of thy hired servants.'" And he was thinking about this because he had dishonored his father in so many ways, because he knew what was right and still did what was wrong. And when he came back, you know the story. The reason why his father gave him all of his stuff then was because he knew his brother. I know that went right over your head, so I'll explain it. His brother would not have been as gracious and merciful and forgiving as his father was. And if he had come back, his brother would have told him, you need to go back where you came from. Ain't got nothing here for you. The reason I know his brother would have said something like that is because when the brother came from the field and heard music in the house and said, what's going on inside? The servant was happy and excited and said, your brother who was lost is found. He's back home, and I'm going to kill the fatted calf for him. And he heard that word, and he goes to his father in anger and says, listen, have I not been with you always? Have I not obeyed everything you said? Look at what he throws on his father then. You never killed a fatted calf for me. You never threw a party for me. And he started throwing all this stuff out at his father. And his father said, this is your brother who was dead and is alive. He was lost and is now found. And I'm excited and rejoicing over him coming back to himself. And he knew if he had not been alive when this had happened, that his son would have forever been lost. And so he allowed him to do what he was going to do so that he could pick him up once again and restore him back to his rightful place. And so parents, you can't always put your head down when your grown child does something that disappoints you or hurts you, when you know you've taught them, reared them in Sunday school, sung in the choir, been a part of ministry, and now they have messed up. Listen, what you know is this, that it ain't over till it's over. Because you've got God to hold to his word, and every now and then they have got to go down before they could stand straight up and say, mama, you were right. Daddy, you were right. God's word is right. God is real. And so when you realize sometimes it seemed like even in loving your loved ones that your love has been in vain, that your service, your sacrifices have been in vain. Know this, if it's your assignment and you do everything God has ordained you to do, then don't count it out until it's over. Here's what I want you to see, the right perspective now. He goes on in the verse. That was the first part dealing with the wrong perspective, but it clears up as you go into the verse, because the right perspective says, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. He says, in the right perspective, there are two important things that we need to understand about the labor for God. First of all, when we look at the right perspective, we'll see that judgment represents appraisal. Appraisal. God is the one who determines whether these things are so are right and whether or not they are worthy. And judgment requires a decision. God always appraises your assignment. And he appraises your labor. And the judgment or the decision that is made is based on his appraisal. Which really means, and I need you to focus in on this, that you ought not get excited because other folk don't see what God sees. They may call it a failure, they may call you a failure, but guess what? They are not your judge. God is going to appraise your assignment and assess it for what it is worth. And thanks be to God that he knows your heart and he knows your participation and he knows everything that you've invested in making the assignment all that it ought to be. And God's decision is the decision that counts.
That's why if it happens to be that it doesn't end up like you wanna and you've given the best of your service, then thanks be to God that he knows the whole service. He knows that you weren't the only one connected with your situation and your circumstance, and that you did your best, and your best is the only thing he's gonna judge you on, not on the totality of the whole assignment with others included.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II.